We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 505. Happy Wednesday to you. Quite a show. We had Ari Fleischer on earlier. Now my guest is Gordon Hedel. He was the Inspector General of the Department of Defense from 2008 to 2011. He was a member of the Secret Service for 28 years. Honestly, his resume is just too long to read, so we wouldn't get to talk to Mr. Hedel. Also, he is a local St. Louis boy, so it's a homecoming for him. Mr. Hedel, it's a pleasure to meet you. Hi, Gordon. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Dave. I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah.
Thank you for that introduction.
So, first of all, before we get into your career or your opinions on what the world's like today, tell me about your connection with St. Louis.
Well, I tell you what, Dave, I grew up in the Festus Crystal City communities of Jefferson County. I attended elementary and high schools there and when I was a younger man, and that's still a really home to me, though Nancy and I reside out on the East Coast right now. So, but the people of Missouri, especially where I grew up, are wonderful people, and I owe them more than I'll ever be able to repay.
That is really wonderful. Do you still keep up with the Cardinals?
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody in half the United States keeps up with the Cardinals, I'll tell you. Yeah, they're a great team, wonderful history, and exciting to watch.
So, Gordon, tell me your story. How do you go from Festus to being the Inspector General of the Department of Defense?
Well, I tell you, it wasn't something, Dave, that I set out to do, because when I began my career, there really weren't anything like what we call our modern-day inspectors general. So after I got out of the military, I began my law enforcement career in the Secret Service, and through a lot of good timing and good luck, I ended up in a situation where when I retired from the Secret Service, I was the assistant director, and I was offered a presidential appointment by President Clinton. And it was to become an inspector general at the Labor Department. And it was really kind of up my alley because they did the office, the job that I had there had handled a lot of organized crime work. So I did that. And then the really big job came at the Defense Department. It was in 2008. And the White House called and asked me to consider going over there. I was reluctant, just to be candid about it, but it ended up being the highlight of my career for sure. Very exciting. Two wars going on. A lot to do in that job, and it was a tough job, to say the least.
Gordon, I'm sure we could talk for literally hours on each of your appointments, but let's go back to the Secret Service. Approximately what year did you start in the Secret Service?
Well, I started, Dave, in 1971. And I actually started in the Springfield, Illinois field office, and I was there for about 5 years. And then I was transferred to the Henry Kissinger detail. Normally, Henry Kissinger, as Secretary of State, would not have been entitled to Secret Service protection. But he requested it through President Nixon at the time. And so I ended up spending a year or so on that particular detail, and then went on into the Vice Presidential Protective Division under when Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale were in office. And then the next 10 years or so, I was mostly in investigations. And then in the early 90s, I was transferred over to the Vice Presidential Protective Division, where I was the special agent in charge. And then finally in my career, I became assistant director. And it was there that I finished. And it was there that this opportunity to become an inspector general occurred. And then after that, I got another appointment from George W. Bush and then President Obama to actually become the Inspector General of the Department of Defense.
Wow. If you guys are just joining us, we're talking to Gordon Hiddell, a local Festus boy who did well and ended up as the Inspector General of the Department of Defense under President Obama. So, Gordon, I have a good relationship with the FBI. I know some Secret Service agents. It hurts my heart to see when things go bad with either of those agencies, and it must really do damage to you having spent so much time.
Well, I tell you, it is, this is tough. I mean, you know, once you're a Secret Service agent, you certainly have a soft spot in your heart, and as all former agents do. But listen, the service continues to be under intense pressure from Congress, and most of that is because of the way it has handled this, its response to Congress relative to the events of January 6th, and it's created doubt, and I think that doubt surfaced when the service allowed one of its agents to serve in a political position in the White House, and that doubt has persisted to this day. I think, though, most Americans know that the Secret Service has enjoyed and deserved the status of being one of our nation's most elite organizations, but I think the service needs to work hard right now to preserve that status, and they need to turn these doubts around as quickly as possible.
So, Gordon, tell me your January 6th story. You're doing your business, and you're hanging out, and you see it on television, and you watch it. What was your reaction to January 6th?
Well, I tell you, it was in the beginning, and this is kind of the way I think the country was looking at it, Dave. Back in mid-June, I think people didn't think that much was going to happen of significance. And certainly, I think people doubted that the investigation could be transformative. But a lot of people were lukewarm at that time. Now, 2 months and 8 weeks later, my take has changed on that. And when you listen to people talk today, they're describing the hearings as riveting to watch. And the reason for that, I think, is the committee panel. It has done three important things. It's uncovered a surprising amount of new information about January 6th. It's developed material which could establish former President Trump's potential criminal culpability for the insurrection. And finally, there are indications that the committee's revelations has prodded the Department of Justice to investigate. So, in my opinion, the 1-6 investigation by the Congress is far from over.
Gordon, when I know when that the last hearing where they were playing Vice President Pence being ushered out of there, so nothing happened to him, and there was testimony about the Secret Service agents calling their families, saying goodbye. That used to be your job, protecting the vice president. How did that hit you in particular?
Well, I have to be absolutely candid here, Dave. I'm a bit skeptical about what I heard. That information came from an anonymous individual. And I'm not suggesting that they were lying or trying to present something that wasn't true. But I can tell you in my many years with the Secret Service, number one, they're in a situation like what was happening at the Capitol on January 6th, the agents would almost never have an opportunity time-wise to take a moment out and text family members or friends. It just would be very difficult to find the time if you wanted to do it. But in reality here, it's just very inconsistent with anything that I ever experienced in Secret Service. And there were a number of occasions where, you know, where we did face some pretty difficult and challenging situations. And I don't think that was ever on anyone's mind. You just don't think about those kinds of things. As much as you may love and care for your family, you're not thinking about that. There's one focus in a time like that, and that is what they did, and that is protect your vice president of the United States.
That's really interesting, Gordon. I had the same thought. I've never served a day in my life, but I thought that I thought the same thing. Like, wow, you had time to actually call when you're trying to get the vice president out. So it's very interesting to hear you say that. Finally, this week, we had an unprecedented happening, as you well know, where the Department of Justice served a search warrant through the FBI on a former president of the United States. Your reaction to that?
Well, that's extraordinary, and I think it's extremely extraordinary, in fact. And I believe it raises questions about whether the former president's legal exposure extends beyond whether he improperly took government records when he left the White House. So what exactly the FBI was searching for and why, we still don't know exactly. At least the public doesn't know. There had to be a suspicion, I would say fairly significant suspicion, and very specific information that led the investigators to believe that there were additional materials that were not turned over. And you have to realize, we don't know for sure exactly what they're looking for. Right now we're talking records, but there could be something that we're just not aware of. Now, the warrant, of course, you know, that's not easy to obtain a warrant like this against a former president. So to obtain such a warrant, investigators would have to show a judge that there was probable cause of a crime and that evidence of that crime was located at Mar-a-Lago. And because of the historical and political significance associated with this, the affidavit for the warrant would have to have gone through multiple layers of management and ultimately receive approval from the highest levels of the Justice Department. But I think one of the very interesting things about this, Dave, as I understand it, the Secret Service was reportedly notified in advance of Monday's execution of the warrant, which I would have expected that, and they facilitated access to the Florida Trump property. But as federal agents, however, the service would not take part in the investigation or the search. And I can remember times when we would have these hypothetical discussions about exactly how do you handle a situation like this. And I think it's being handled very well by both the FBI and the Secret Service.
Very interesting. Well, Gordon, through your service as a helicopter pilot during the Vietnam era, the Secret Service, the DOD, you've done St. Louis proud. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Dave. I've enjoyed it. You take care of yourself.
You too. What a good guy. Well, sweetie.
That was interesting.
523 the dot DGS. We are out tomorrow for Cardinals baseball. We're back on Friday. We're Trishless because it's her birthday. You got some trash?
Yeah. Steve Martin's going to get a documentary about his life. Yeah. Right now he's starring in Only Murders in the Building, which Rachel says is really good.
Show.
Man, I am the wheelhouse of Let's Get Small. His famous comedy album.
I love that album.
I was like 13 and just a fledgling dork comedian, you know what I mean? And oh, I burned that thing.
My
great memories.
Big Steve Martin memories, The Jerk. I used to watch that over and over.
Yeah,
and my mom used to love when he did The Wild and Crazy Guys. And he did King Tut, on Saturday Night Live.
Which remember they tried to cancel him over the King Tut sketch. It's like, guys, come on.
He has a great book. I think it's called
Born Standing Up. Yeah.
Oh, what a good book.
So this is going to come out on Apple TV. It's two parts. It's directed by Morgan Neville, who did 20 Feet from Stardom. Anyway, he said the doc is somebody else's take. They found a lot of archival stuff. I guess he didn't participate. A premiere date has not been announced. But I'll watch that. That looks pretty good. So they did a list of the most popular high schools that you've seen in movies. This has been going around. So we'll just do the top five. North Shore High School from Mean Girls. These are the most popular high schools in movies. Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. I don't know what that's from.
How is that not number one? It's a magical high school.
Because it can't be. Because
there's a lot of like... Hogwarts wasn't that great. There was a lot of like...
There was some danger.
Well, we're
going
to get to them.
Yeah, there's some danger and the stairs moved.
Oh, I thought you were going to say there are a lot of other high schools like...
No, like there's a lot of bad things about Hogwarts. It seems like a more trouble than it's worth.
See, okay, so number three is Shermer High School from The Breakfast Club, which yes, huge movie, but you didn't know the name of the high school.
Yeah.
I mean, I think number one should be Fast Times at Ridgemont High because everybody knows it's in the name, but that's at number two. And then at number one, which I get this one too, Rydell High, which was Grease.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. But I still think Fast Times should be number one. You know, because the whole name and stuff. All right.
Instead of the think tank next week, let's just do a debate between you and Rachel about Hogwarts.
Okay.
I'm trying to get Trish to read Harry Potter.
I think I'm going to.
You love it.
You should. And it's fall season. It'll be the perfect time to start.
I think I would like
it. Spice latte.
It's just I was way past it in age range.
I didn't read
it
until I was an adult either, and I loved it. It was fun.
List of songs that really became popular after they were in movies. We'll just do a couple, like Bohemian Rhapsody. It was popular, but after Wayne's World.
Really?
What?
I didn't know that that had that effect. Like, I would have thought
being in Wayne's World?
Yeah, I would have just thought Bohemian Rhapsody was as big as it could ever be.
Oh my God, I think that moved the car scene. I mean, and obviously it came out later too, after it was already popular once. Bob Seger's old time rock and roll from Risky Business. I mean, I can see Tom Cruise sliding on the wood floor in his tidy whities and his pink shirt. And Peter Gabriel, Say Anything in Your Eyes. They put Nirvana, Something in the Way from the Batman. The one with Robert Pattinson. Mm-hmm. Won't Get Fooled Again, The Who, because it's CSI Miami's theme song, which, again, I think it got a rebirth. That's probably what the list should say, songs that got a rebirth. We're just going to do a little Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson news, because two things have come out that he's needed big therapy because of what Kanye's saying about him after the breakup, and that he supposedly proposed to her right before the breakup.
Oh, boy, what a mess.
Uh-oh.
Which is sad.
It is sad.
Well, we all knew it would end this way if you've paid attention to Pete at all.
Oh, boy.
This is just kind of how he is. A serial dater and gets in over his head. Okay, it's time to go to break.
Yeah, I wasn't going to stop you.
I'll keep going. You know, the thing about Pete.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.